Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday morning. And we do want to remind you, it ends the 23rd of January. We do want to remind you that tonight the State of the Union address will be delivered, as you know, by President Bush. And we will be carrying it here on Wisconsin Public Radio. National Public Radio is covering the speech and the Democratic response and will provide post-speech analysis. So that's coming up this evening at 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow, our talk shows hosted by Joy Cardine and my show and Ben Maron's show will be featuring guests from different perspectives discussing the themes addressed by President Bush. So State of the Union tonight will be carried here and we'll have a lot of response to all the president has to say starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning with Joy Cardine. This first hour today, all right, let's get rolling. We're going to talk some more politics. And this time it will be about Hillary Clinton. As soon as she said that she is going to run for president, she said, I'm in and I'm in to win. A lot of the news media said that she is clearly the front runner here. She has established a well-staffed, very well-financed national organization. She's very well known, of course, in the country, and we're going to be looking at how Clinton-Obama race figures, how it shapes up, how the campaigns may be different, how they're going to be after the same kind of money, and ask the question, I think, which is a fair question, why is she the front runner? Is it because of money? Is it because of name recognition? Is it because she's the favorite, do you think, of Democrats in this country? Well, it should be a good conversation, and we are happy to have with us Professor Barbara Burrell, who's an associate professor of political science at Northern Illinois University, a faculty associate of the Women's Studies Program, associate director of the Public Opinion Laboratory at the school, and she has written extensively about Hillary Clinton, including the First Ladyship and Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton as First Lady, the Clintons and gender politics. She was Northern Illinois University's chair of the President's Commission on the Status of Women. She is also the author of Gender in Campaigns for the U.S. Congress at the Millennium, Women and Political Participation, a reference handbook, and a long list of other writings for many publications. Senator Hillary Clinton, what do you think? Is she divisive? Why is she the front runner? Does she stand a good chance of winning? How will the campaign shape up between the front runners? Or do you think it's theirs to lose, perhaps, and somebody else is going to sneak on by, both of them? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. Professor Barbara Burrell, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, glad to do it.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Why is it that she is considered the front runner? Is it money? Is it because most Democrats like her the best, or what is it?
Well, money is certainly a part of it. It's also, as you mentioned earlier, name recognition. She's well-known. She's distinctive, and most of the polls do show that among Democrats, she's their top choice, but she's by no means running away with it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. How much money does she have? Does she have way, way, way more than any of the other candidates?
Well, during her campaign for re-election, she had, at least $40 million.
Wow.
And I believe she has at least $13 million right now. And, you know, it'll take a couple hundred million or at least $100 million probably to win the primary.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing that all of these candidates are going to be, well, you think about what they're doing right now. They're probably on the phone trying to raise
exactly.
more money, right?
Exactly, yep. And, you know, and they have their finance committees, and so they're twisting arms all over the place. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that it is going to be a Clinton versus Obama race here, or do you think that any of these other people have any chance of breaking through that?
Well, it is early. Of course, they're starting early, and the Democrats are continuing to make their primaries and caucuses earlier and earlier, which certainly advantages the front runners with the most money and the name recognition. So I would think it'd be pretty hard. You know, sometimes I wonder, why are these people running, given the odds at the moment,
right,
and what it would take.
Exactly, and the amount of energy that you have to spend running for president is just phenomenal,
it is,
isn't it?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it sure is.
And Hillary Clinton has decided she's not going to accept public monies, which would limit how much money she could raise and spend in neither the primary nor the general election. So she's the first one ever not to take public monies in the general election. So that just, dramatically increases the amount of money that can be spent.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about where she is on the political spectrum for a moment here, Professor Burrell.
That's a good question.
Because she, I mean, her husband, and it's sometimes hard to separate where they are politically if there are differences here, but she, E.J. Dionne, had an interesting article yesterday that she's been shaped by her party's need to win back moderate and conservative voters who strayed to Ronald Reagan's banner so that Clintons were drawn to the centrist Democratic Leadership Council. Is that council still active? Is she still drawn to the center here?
I think she is drawn to the center. We can certainly see that in her position on the Iraq War and many other statements she's made about social issues that I think she does play to the center, but it's a leftist center, if you can describe it that way.
Mm-hmm. Left of center because of issues like health care or what?
Well, yes, health care. Plus, I mean, she continues to be pro-choice on abortion, yet she talks about, you know, again, having to have a dialogue and make it as rare as possible that a person has to have abortion, reaching out to other groups to think about, you know, alternatives. So she's, you know, trying to do that, stay to the center.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about her vote on the war, how she's positioning herself a little bit differently on the war right now. And I would imagine she's very, very thorough about things. I would imagine that she's going to come up with a very complete plan on Iraq. She's been more critical of the prime minister of Iraq. She's talked about cutting off money to the Iraqi government. But she was among the majority who voted in favor of authorizing the president to attack Iraq. Does she need to explain that more as this campaign goes on? Here it is. Iraq is front and center every darn day.
Right, exactly. Well, no, I think she'll continue to do what she's doing now, of being critical of the president, discussing options to get out of the situation that we're in, never taking back her vote, absolutely not doing that. But to try to move forward, to move the debate forward. And if you think about, you know, the election is a little less than 2 years away, but it is almost 2 years away. Iraq's going to be awful old by then.
Mm-hmm.
One would hope that, you know, something's been concluded by that time and that we are talking about other issues, domestic issues.
Right. Well, Iraq is pretty old by now, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's true.
It's kind of this weird situation when you think about it. We've got this woman who was first lady, who stood by her man during some pretty steamy sexual escapades that took place there, who ran for Senate, who's now running for president. The whole scenario is so unusual, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It is. It is totally unusual, and it just sets up so many different images and ideas and things to think about that, you know, people become very confused about her.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, that some other woman who first got engaged in politics on her own,
yes,
ran for
yes.
office, you know, was governor or senator and didn't have all this other both baggage but good things from her years in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Good things in terms of, you know, being engaged in policy, getting to meet people. Internationally, she was incredibly popular.
Well,
as First Lady.
It's interesting that you use that phrase, being confused about her. What does that mean for us to be confused about her? And it seems as though if you're going to have a successful run here, that confusion needs to be erased.
Right, right. That's why, you know, I think that she's doing that. I mean, she, you know, in her announcement, she talked about having a conversation.
Yes.
You know, and so that, you know, that has sort of a stereotype about it. Let's be calm, you know, sort of, you know, something that a woman might say or a mother might say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she's, you know, trying to walk that very fine line. At the same time, you know, she's on the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, so she's tried to shore up, you know, her foreign policy credentials, her military types of credentials, because that's the biggest thing that's been used against a potential woman candidate for president. You know, can she be commander-in-chief?
Right. I got to tell you, and this is purely from conversations I've had with people, but it's also from doing a talk show for many, many years now. I have yet to find very many people, and it's probably only a handful, who are wildly enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton. On the other hand, you find other candidates that people are more wildly enthusiastic about, be it John Edwards or Barack Obama, or that there are a lot of reservations about her. And I'm wondering if you're sensing the same thing here and how you can be declared the front runner if you have so many people who would declare themselves Democrats say, you know, I don't know about her. She doesn't wow me.
Well, you know, that's true, and that's why, I mean, all of the polling that's being done, in addition to the conversations like you're talking about, talking to people, you know, one-on-one, again, you do the poll, you ask people, if the election were held today, who would you vote for, you know, for Democrats, and 30-some percent say Hillary, and the next closest right now is Barack Obama, who's at about 18%. Those are who the people know, so she continues to be the front runner. She's also raised, you know, more money than anybody else. In addition, although she hasn't gone to Iowa and hasn't been a real presence in New Hampshire, the early states, in terms of winning the nomination, she's spent tremendous amount of time going to other states and meeting with party leaders, and she's a star when she goes to these places. Everybody wants to go and meet her.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's all right. And what about the contribution of her husband to this campaign? Positive?
Well, there are tremendous positives and there are tremendous negatives.
A confusing situation, once again.
It absolutely is. I mean, it's just fascinating. And you can't just say, well, people aren't going to vote for her because she's a woman. Well, people might not vote for her because they hate Bill Clinton and they don't like the fact that she stood by him, or they don't like that she did this, that, or the other thing. So. You know, and Bill is a wonderful campaigner.
Yeah.
He'll be doing lots for her.
Mm-hmm. So does it come down to, and I wonder how she does this, we keep hearing Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. She has to spend a lot of time, it seems, in those states. Will she be able, and the polls are showing that she's not the front runner in those particular states. Does she need to get a number of those states, and how would she do that? Is it by going to the local diner, the local donut shop, and having donuts and coffee and going to coffee clutches? Or is it spending a whole lot of money on advertising? Or how is she going to woo people in Iowa?
Well, Iowa is definitely the coffee shops and meeting the people. And she can be very good at that. I mean, go back to 2000 when she ran for the Senate in New York. And when she started out, you know, she was the carpetbagger, or what right did she have to do this? And she just went day after day after day into all the communities, talked to people, listened to them, and won. And then won re-election overwhelmingly because she really paid attention to her constituents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she really knows how to do that one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to having her large campaign war chest and people around her who can raise tons and tons of money.
Mm-hmm. And will that make up for just this persistence of somebody like John Edwards, who's probably got his sleeping bag with him and is camping out in those diners for the next 2 years?
I know, that's right. I mean, so it's just going to be fascinating to see how they play out in all these different states and different situations, and whether Barack Obama will continue to be this phenomenon and somebody new and different without a great, you know, a long history that he has to answer to.
What does your research show, Professor Burrell, about whether or not we think twice about a female as president?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question because people like the Gallup poll have been asking the general public if they would support a woman for president to way back in the 1930s, when about a third of the people said yes, to more recent years when we're up to 90-some percent who will say yes, they'll support a woman for president if she's nominated by their party. But we don't know the extent to which that's just become a social desirability kind of thing. Well, of course, that's the right response to give.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes right down to it, will they really cast a vote for a woman?
We're talking this hour with Professor Barbara Burrell, Associate Professor of Political Science at Northern Illinois University, and she's also affiliated with the Women's Studies Program and is Associate Director of the Public Opinion Laboratory at the school. She's written extensively about Hillary Clinton, particularly her years as First Lady, and we're talking about Hillary Clinton as front runner, her staff, her organization, whether or not you just can't beat her this go around, that she will be the nominee, even though we're somewhat confused about her. What do you think? Here's the phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. John Treader is answering phone calls here. I would imagine that our calls are going to be many this hour, so, you know, call in early. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we will be speaking with David Kusnet. He was the chief speechwriter for former President Bill Clinton from 92 through 94. He writes on political rhetoric for the New Republic Online, and his article, Words Fail, appears in the New Republic Online this week. He will talk about the State of the Union address and how many people are planning to watch it and how important it'll be and what the themes will be and all of that. We'll talk to David about that. And a reminder, the State of the Union address will be carried here on the Ideas Network. There will also be the Democratic response and post-speech analysis. And then tomorrow morning, starting at 6, our Ideas Network talk shows, hosted by Joy Cardine, by me and Ben Marins, will feature guests from many perspectives. We'll be looking at what the president had to say tonight. Okay. Let's talk with you now about Hillary Clinton. Our phone number, a couple lines are open, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Nancy from Milwaukee, our first caller. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. My comment is that I would not vote for Hillary under any circumstances, but I might have had a more approving perspective of her if she had chosen to run for the senatorship of either Arkansas or Illinois, where she was associated for those many years, because it seemed to me that when she immediately announced she was going to instead run for the senatorship of New York, it was because of the prestige that that brought along. And, of course, even at that time, she was thinking about running for the presidency, I do believe. But she has always proclaimed her need to help the needy, especially providing health care for poor children. And heaven knows, in Arkansas, there are plenty of poor children. I also would like to say that when she was being questioned during the time that her husband was in office, at one time a large number of microphones were set up in front of the Justice Building where she was about to go in and make some statements under oath. And, of course, because of the large number of microphones, there was this tangled web of cords at her feet as she spoke briefly, standing in front of those microphones before she actually entered the building. And I saw that tangled mass of cords, and immediately Shakespeare came to mind.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have never – that picture was widely circulated, and I have never forgotten that image of her standing amidst these tangled cords because – I'm one of these people that strongly feel that Vincent Foster's death was not a suicide. And I don't necessarily know that they paid anybody to murder him, but I think that he had a very sensitive soul and that he could not any longer undertake to be part of what they represented any longer. So I would not vote for her under any circumstances.
Thanks, Nancy, for the call. Professor Burrell.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's some of the problem that Hillary Clinton has, that so many people have so many different reasons that for some of us, you know, may not be that important. I mean, if you're a senator from the state of New York, you can certainly do a lot for health care for children all around the country. There are people who believe the Clintons did evil kinds of things. They probably never would have voted for her anyway. You know, it may be more conservative ideologies.
Why did she choose New York? Do you know?
Well, I think in part because it was an open seat, so she wouldn't have to challenge either a member of her own party or a Republican incumbent. And as we just heard, I mean, she is very power-seeking. And, of course, New York is a very powerful place. So I think it was both power and opportunity that led her to choose New York State in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nancy, for the call. Wendy is next from Eau Claire. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thank you for putting me on. I'm so excited to make my first call. And I heard your comment earlier about how you hadn't talked to anybody who was super excited about Hillary, and I wanted to be that person.
All right, Wendy.
I've been waiting for 8 to 10 years for 2008 to come around, and I'm so excited that she's declared her candidacy. And And on the last caller, I just want to note that, you know, so many people make career decisions that are going to, you know, pay off in the long term. And I hope that people don't hold that against her, that she chose New York. And I just think she's a strong woman with great ideas. She had health care reform before its time, and it's her time, and I'm excited for her.
And do you know a lot of people, are a lot of your friends equally as excited as you, or do you find yourself out there on a limb?
Well, I think that I live in a somewhat conservative area. I live in northern Wisconsin, and my husband's certainly not as excited as I am, but I think he's going to vote for her, too. I don't think as many people are as excited, but I think that's just, you know, part of the people that surround me. I know that my grandparents are going to vote for her, but my father is still going to be Republican. So
that's interesting.
Mixed up here.
and, Wendy, who's your second choice?
Actually, I really like John Edwards. I read some of his work when he was running last time, and I think he's also a strong candidate. So I'd love to see a Clinton Edwards ticket.
Mm-hmm. Professor Burrell?
Right. Well, and indeed, you know, Hillary does pull more support from women than from men. She's always had this gender gap. And she does excite, you know, a number of women who will probably get out there and really work for her. Certainly, Emily's left a very powerful political action committee within the Democratic Party is behind her, and they'll have all of their workers out there. So, you know, so there definitely is some significant support among women for her. There always has been. There's always been this gender gap.
You know, thanks for the call. You know, it's interesting. This may change during the course of the hour, but when we talk politics, I must tell you that it's usually about 80% male callers, and today it's all female callers. Isn't that? I think that says something.
Yep, that's very interesting. I look forward to hearing their different perspectives.
Right. Thanks, Wendy, for your call. Mary is next from Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Fine, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very conflicted about Hillary's run for office this time. I really, really like her. I think she'd be a fantastic president. What frightens me the most about her potential candidacy is that she'll run, she'll get the nomination, and then because she is such a polarizing figure, she carries so much baggage from her husband's presidency, so many negative feelings, and that crazy, very radical right, religious right, will mobilize, and we'll wind up with another Republican in the White House for 4 years, and I think that would be disastrous for this country.
Professor Burrell.
Well, I think the people around Hillary are very, very astute politically, and so I think if she does win the nomination, that they will know how to gain support, particularly among the independents, and to overcome any backlash among the Republicans. So I'm not convinced at all that she cannot win. I think she can win the nomination. I think there's potential for her to win the presidency if she doesn't trip up badly somehow or another.
And what would she have to do to win the presidency? What votes would she be courting? Are we looking again at those centrist Democrats? Are we looking, because the political landscape has changed a bit since the Clintons were in office?
That's right. So yeah, I definitely think they need to go for the centrist votes. And again, you know, women disproportionately support her, and women disproportionately turn out to vote. So, you know, talking about issues that are of particular importance, like education and health care, and continually trying to get those on, you know, to be the major agenda items during the campaign. In addition, as I mentioned before, the fact that she has been in the United States Senate, well, for 6 years now, it will be 7 years pretty soon, that she's been on the Armed Services Committee. She's worked well with the fellow members of Congress, so, you know, they probably won't go out on the Republican side and really trash her. That she's got, you know, a lot of strengths.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mary, very much for your call. Unless you had something else.
Could I just ask one quick
sure,
question?
Sure.
I love that you say she's got really great, astute people around her. The way that the Republicans twisted and spun things back the first time George was elected and then the second time, you think they can even withstand that type of onslaught? I mean, look how badly John Kerry did in that election, in our last election, fighting that kind of radical spin.
Well, I think, you know, at least as of right now, I would say that 2008, the issues will be slightly different. You won't have the incumbent president. And again, as I said, I do think the Clintons are very astute and know how to run campaigns.
The radical spin is being directed at Barack Obama right now.
That's true, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But again, you know, he'll be fascinating to see how he does out there. I mean, obviously, he's a phenomenon among many political people, but I think about, well, what about all those people, you know, your everyday citizen in the South, in other parts of the country? Are they really paying attention? What's their image of him right now?
Does he need to be concerned about the South? Do the Democrats need to be concerned about the South?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Sure they do. They need to, you know, they need to figure out the Electoral College strategy. So if they could pick off a couple of Southern states, in addition to keeping, you know, the base that John Kerry had in the states that he won in 2004, you know, it's very possible, very doable for either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Mary.
Or maybe both of them together.
Thanks, Mary, for the call. Gloria is next from Madison. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I'm so glad I got on. And as other people have talked, I've come up with a couple more things I wanted to say. But first of all, I wanted to mention what Mike Allen had to say this morning on C-SPAN. He's got that new website, The Politico, but he had been talking to a Republican very close to President Bush who told him that Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States. And her main asset is that President Clinton, Bill Clinton, is the best campaigner and politician in American history. And I thought that was quite telling for somebody to say that. And the other thing had to do with someone on a talk radio program yesterday who said he got a call from Mayor Daley who told him, oh, wow, since he saw the way she presented herself in her video, which I saw and I thought was wonderful, and the way nobody is really putting it down at all, they're not at all criticizing it, they're saying she really did a good job. He's saying, I think maybe I might be looking at President Hillary Clinton.
Except that he's thrown his support to Barack Obama, right?
This is what he said. He apparently has to think twice about it now. The other thing I wanted to say, too, had to do with Nancy Pelosi. If you remember how much they tried to vilify her before the election, the right wing did, to try and be afraid of a woman and Nancy Pelosi, and it didn't work. And even people I know who are not on my political side really do kind of say, hey, she's doing a good job. She's done a good job in California. She knows what she's doing. She's smart. So I think probably America is ready for a woman and not nearly as afraid as some people would like us to believe.
Gloria, thanks so much for the call. Professor Burrell.
Right, and I mean, the image this evening when the president gives his State of the Union address and, you know, Nancy Pelosi sitting behind him, I mean, that all plays to, you know, the fact that women can be leaders.
Right.
So that certainly would have, I think, slowly has an effect. In addition, you know, if you look around the world, more and more women are getting elected presidents and prime ministers. So people will be saying, well, what's the matter with the United States? What's wrong with us? Isn't it about time? And just that whole discussion, whether Hillary wins or not, I think is very valuable.
What about her comment, though, that this guy made that Bill Clinton is this fantastic campaigner, et cetera, but Bill Clinton's not running for president anymore. He's had his time. She's got to do it on her own hook, don't you think? As effective as he may be, she's the candidate.
Right, but what he would do is it'll be behind the scenes. It'll be with certain groups of people.
Hmm.
I mean, and he worked really hard when she was running for senator in New York State to never upstage her. It was her opportunity, her time. But again, he can work just as she did behind the scenes when he ran for re-election in 1996, working with the base groups who are important.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
He's becoming more and more popular.
Well, yeah. He does have a problem, though, in not upstaging her because he always does upstage her. Don't you think? I mean, he gives the better speeches. He's more relaxed. He's a crowd pleaser. He's with the people. I keep thinking of the Coretta Scott King funeral and his comments at that. He's a natural orator, and she's not.
Oh, absolutely. But what I was saying is, if she's going out to give a major speech, he will not speak.
Mm-hmm.
He'll stay in the background or, you know, just do a little introduction or what have you. But he'll try very hard when they're together like that, and she's campaigning, that he's not the center. He won't be giving speeches.
Mm-hmm. You think he can hold himself back? Huh?
Well, it'll be fascinating. It's, you know, for those of us who study politics, you know, it couldn't get much better having
right.
all these different candidates out there and
I'm
no incumbent.
You.
Wow.
Right. I'm with you. It's going to be a real interesting time. Thanks, Gloria, for the call. Let's go to Jane next from Green Bay. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I called because, well, first of all, I'm a staunch Democrat, but I feel like Hillary Clinton's being thrown down our throats with the media. I worked at the polls, and we closed later than I can ever remember. But 2 hours after, we were working on the 2008 election, and I'm sick of it. We didn't even have a six-hour break. I won't vote for Hillary, and I resent this being, you know, thrust down our throats thing. I have one woman friend that would. The rest of them would not.
Because
we don't trust her, and because we don't think she's electable. Because of the fact that, we just don't think she's electable because we don't trust her. I mean, there's other reasons, but I can't think of them now because I'm nervous.
Oh, you don't sound nervous. And I'm glad that you brought up that phrase because that's what a lot of people are saying is that she's not electable. She's not electable. You hear this all the time, Professor Burrell. What about that?
Well, some people say that, but as one of your other callers said, but, you know, what about all the people out there who, you know, are really thinking about her and who are supportive? And I think CBS did a poll just yesterday or very recently, and the poll said that people think that, you know, she's got the credentials to be president. She's, you know, because of her work in the United States Senate. So, again, I think, as we go along and she continues to be out there speaking and talking and meeting with people, that maybe this we don't trust her issue might dissipate somewhat.
Thanks so much, Jean, for your call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Leslie from La Crosse. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the air. And I love your show.
Thanks.
My question is, when I read this in the La Crosse Tribune front page after she had announced it on Saturday, like second or third paragraph said something about, you know, but, you know, will she be able to be elected being that she votes Republican a lot. She sides a lot with the Republicans, especially on the war issue. And so, Professor, I just wanted to hear what your comments were about that. And so I'm conflicted because I would love to see a woman the president. I'm a Democrat. But I think I've had, you know, up to here with Republicans, and I just wanted to know if that, you think that's going to be something that she's going to have to overcome in her campaign.
Well, she did vote for the war, but if you look at all of her votes in the United States Senate, in the 2 years that she and Barack Obama have spent together in the Senate, they voted the same way over 90% of the time. The years that she was in the Senate with John Edwards, they voted the same way over 90% of the time. She does have, in actuality, quite a liberal voting record. And the issues that she's promoted in the Senate have been, some have been quite liberal. Others, she's worked with Republicans to come up with good centrist, good, I put that in quotes, centrist ideas. So I don't think you can say that she's, other than perhaps the vote on the war that she, you know, her 2002 vote on the war, that other than that, that she is that conservative.
What about this factor of just kind of a fatigue factor? It seems to me as though this enters in some way that, and partially explains, well, he's also a great talker and a hopeful guy. It explains, I think, Obama's attraction here. You know, we had the Clintons for 8 years. We've had the Bushes for 12 years. There's a fatigue factor. It's time for some fresh air. It's time for somebody new. Time for somebody not necessarily younger, but somebody who hasn't had front and center political stage.
I think that's a powerful argument. And if Barack Obama does not become defensive because he's only been in the Senate for a couple of years. He was in 8 years in the Illinois State Senate. If he doesn't become defensive about the fact that he doesn't have this long record, but continues to talk about reconciliation and, you know, how he likes to bring people together, that could be quite powerful.
And so, you know, I think that is another thing to think about, as you say, the fatigue factor.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, thanks for the call. Steve is next from Escanaba. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Hi.
Let me start out by saying I'm a Republican that's a fan of Barack Obama, so I don't really have a horse in the race, but I just want to be, a bit objective. And I think Hillary's biggest problem is she seems to be so contrived and calculating in everything. I'll give a perfect example, a recent example. She was interviewed by Brian Williams about the timing of her announcement.
Right.
And she had said that it was always, she always had planned on it. When it was planned. I was watching Chris Matthews, and he had Mike Barnacle and Howard Fineman from the Washington Post. It had been leaked out. No, she hadn't planned it for Saturday. Barack Obama was getting all the press, and she changed the schedule had been to be the beginning of February. But something as simple as a question like that as to the timing of it, there's a lack of ability to just be upfront and honest. And it's so contrived. I mean, nobody, all three of the reporters, including Chris Matthews, who, I mean, these guys aren't right-wingers at all, all of them said, no, it wasn't planned for Saturday. She made the decision based upon Obama getting the press. And,
What do you think about that, Professor Burrell?
Well, you know, that's like so many of her other problems. The other person who said she can't be trusted, there are people who think she's contrived, she's just power hungry. They are problems for her, and she does step on her message occasionally with things like that. But whether that's the news media talking, I mean, do the people really, you know, how many people are really paying attention right now, and does that really concern them that she decided to move up her announcement?
Right. Yeah, I see your point on
really
this.
It's really a big deal.
I know. For those of us who follow this every moment, day by day, for years at a time, it's a big deal for us. But does anybody else care about it? That's an extremely important point. This thing, though, about, you know, and this is breaking it down into personality, but I've always been a believer that in this age of television and now these very, very long races, that the personality factor tends to be rather important here. He talked about her being, and when you contrast the two of them, which is interesting because Bill has got this hell fellow well met, you know, come on, let's go have not a McDonald's anymore, but let's go chew the fat somewhere at the local diner. This image of her being not as genuine, our caller used this phrase contrived. Do you think she comes across that way as contrived?
Yes, to a certain extent. Yes, I do. I do think that's a problem for her. No matter what she tries to do, there often is this element of being contrived or not being genuine or doing it just for political reasons and really having, you know, a soul, something you really believe in. And so that's what she's going to have to continue to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard.
Yeah. All right, more phone calls in a moment. The men have finally started calling in. I just think that's real interesting. All our calls were from females until this point in time, which says something. I don't know what big a thing it says, but it says something. Professor Barbara Burrell is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at Northern Illinois University. She's written quite a bit about Hillary Clinton, most of the work concentrating on her years as First Lady. She's written The First Ladyship and Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton as First Lady, The Clintons and Gender Politics. She's with the Women's Studies Program at Northern Illinois and also Associate Director of the Public Opinion Laboratory at the school. We have one line open. If you want it, get it now. 800-486-8655 is the number. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, President Bush delivers his State of the Union address. We will be carrying it here on Wisconsin Public Radio. National Public Radio is sending us the feed as well as the Democratic response, and there will also be post-speech analysis tomorrow. A lot of analysis here on the Ideas Network, starting with Joy Cardine at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The first hour of my program tomorrow will analyze the president's speech, and Ben Marins will be doing the same during his hours. So you'll have a lot of opportunities to talk about what the president has to say. What might the president say is the focus of our second hour today. David Kusnet will be joining us. He was the chief speechwriter for Bill Clinton from 92 through 94. He writes a political rhetoric piece for the New Republic Online. And if you want to look at this before we talk, he's going to be talking about what the president might say, and the speeches, Tony Snow says, just go on and on and you lose people. He has titled his New Republic piece, How Lame Will President Bush's State of the Union Be? What if the president gave a State of the Union speech and nobody tuned in? That's very well what may happen tonight. All right, let's go back to phone calls for Professor Barbara Burrell. We're talking about Hillary Clinton's race for the presidency. She says she's in, and she is in to win. And we go to Reed from Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hello,
and
Reed.
To your guest. The first thing I'd like to say is the reason that the women called in was because they're just faster on the phone than most of the men.
They're multitaskers, right? They know how to do that.
abilities, right.
No, I just think it's interesting because it rarely happens that we get, in political discussions particularly, that many women who flood the phone lines right away.
Well, I dialed about 40 times.
Did you?
Finally got through. Say, as far as Barack Obama... The last person that said he wanted to unite and not divide has failed miserably. So maybe he ought to have a different tagline. But as far as Hillary is concerned, and I am so glad that she's running. I think she's a strong woman and represents women worldwide as a very positive female figure. And what I think might happen, and what I would hope would happen, is if she does get to the White House, and I certainly hope she does, that she might sweep out all the old, good old boys and the old guard and all those men that have been there for decades and bring in some fresh female faces, some women that are strong and that, excuse me, have a lot to say, and perhaps our country would be better off for it.
Professor Burrell.
Well, that's certainly an interesting and fascinating take on it, and to think about, you know, what would a Hillary Clinton White House look like?
I don't have a clue.
Well, you know, when she was in the White House, her staff, she had strong women on her staff, and they stayed with her the whole 8 years. Mm. She has very loyal people around her. She seems to attract them and seems to be a good boss, shall we say.
And I think she might do well to look at our Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, who I think is a very, very fine woman and I think is underrated in our state.
Hmm. Well, she's indicating that she might be interested in being the governor, right?
Well, she would be a good one, I'm sure.
Huh.
Thank you for letting me have
it. So are they going to visit you in Clintonville?
Pardon?
Are they going to visit you in Clintonville?
Well, I don't know, but if they don't, I might just go down and knock on their door in Madison.
Sounds good. Let me just say one really quick thing, because you're talking about President Bush's speech tonight, and that's how much of the media attention will be played on President Bush and how much will be panning his audience, looking at how Hillary's responding, how Obama's responding, et cetera.
The latter, don't you think? This president is somebody people don't want to listen to right now.
Right.
I think that's a fair statement.
You know, the news media, when they have their cameras, who are they going to be focusing on and how that, you know.
Stands, what kind of applause there will be.
Exactly,
yeah. It'll be on Nancy Pelosi as well, and I think so. Thanks, Reed, very much for your call. Paul is next from Rockland. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
As a lifelong Democrat and a big fan of the first Clinton administration, these last 8 years have just been terrible for me. And my fear, if Hillary ends up being the nominee for the party, is in essence what she's going to do, or what that's going to do, is give a four-year contract extension to the Rush Limbaughs of the world. I mean, they are going to revisit every little thing they dug up on the first Clinton administration. And look what they did to John Kerry on the Vietnam thing, and it's going to get ugly. I personally don't think she's electable either, because she's just too divisive, too many lightning rods. But if she is the nominee, I would certainly back her. As my father always told me, I'd vote for a dead Democrat before I'd vote for a Republican. Thank you.
Oh, jeez. He was from Chicago? Was he?
I don't know.
Well, Professor Barber.
Well, you know, I mean, they're letting the press and the media say she's not electable, but yet, as we can see from all the people who are calling in, that there's some real support out there. Not that, you know, your callers are a representative sample, but, you know, that's, I think, is to suggest that there's another play on Hillary Clinton.
Right. What about all these old stories that we've been through and been through and been through, the Vince Foster somebody brought up, the Whitewater? Is all of that going to resurface?
Oh, you know, it'll resurface, but, you know, I think people are probably tired of all of that and want to hear, well, what does Hillary Clinton have to say? What's she going to do if she's in the White House? What's she got to offer? What does Barack Obama have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
I think people are probably pretty tired of all of the other ugly negatives about the Clintons.
Mm-hmm. David from Chicago, hi.
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 I think I'm the first male caller for this one, aren't I?
No, you're not. There have been a few.
Okay.
But welcome.
The time it took to get from the car to the building here. But I am a liberal Democrat male who would not vote for Hillary for dog catcher. And in 1992, I voted for Bill because I actually wanted to be able to vote for Hillary after Bill served his two terms.
Hmm.
But I no longer trust that woman. And
why?
When she kissed Sufa Arafat and gave her a big bear hug after Sufa Arafat got up and went on a tirade about how the Jews were poisoning the wells of the Palestinians and how the Jews were giving the Palestinians AIDS, and whether she thought it was the polite thing to do as part of the rostrum or not doesn't matter. It showed me that there was a level of proceed with power at any cost, and to hell with the way it looks to everybody else. It was just too much for me, and that did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a McCain Democrat. There are many, many, many more like me out there, and I think that's why Hillary's unelectable, because there are just too many of us who may be left-wing liberal Democrats, but we don't have anyone that we would vote for.
How can you call yourself a left-wing liberal Democrat and be a McCain supporter?
Because McCain has the strength to help us in our foreign policy that we need to clean up this mess that the Bushies got us into. I mean, it's a horrible mess, but we need someone who can clean it up. Hillary doesn't have the chops to clean it up. Obama, and I'm here in Illinois, Obama's great, but he just doesn't have the experience. And I don't think Edwards does either.
Hmm.
We don't have anyone on the Democrat side who can clean up this mess. But McCain, who's middle of the road, and like I said, there are millions of us out there who are middle of the road but left-leaning and just want someone who can have the strength to clean up this mess.
Mm-hmm.
So 208.
Mm-hmm. Professor Burrell.
Well, I guess I really haven't seen Senator McCain as being really middle of the road. Senator McCain, I mean, he seems to be wanting even more troops in Iraq. So I'm not quite sure that I followed all of that. Though I understand, you know, again, with Hillary's history, that there are just many occasions that people, you know, stand out in people's minds that make them really not to trust her and not want to support her.
Yeah, it's interesting. He remembers in great detail that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it defined how he thinks about her.
Right.
Thanks, David, so much for your call. We go next to Bill from Oshkosh. Hello, Bill.
Good morning. I finally saw your picture on your website. Nice to have a face with a with your comments and your wonderful show.
Thank you.
I would love to support Hillary. I probably will. I think she's had great experience, but I have two fundamental problems, and they've been mirrored elsewhere. One is she's had great experience on the Armed Services Committee, and I know you've heard me comment on this before, but I've heard no word from her. She may have said it about stabilizing Iraq or whether it's possible and admitting that, because I'm very concerned about the civilian deaths that we will have inadvertently we will have caused by the invasion, and they're huge compared to our numbers. And I think the Democrats have been on this.
I agree.
I saw Hillary speak to Yale a number of years ago about she was receiving an award for advocating children and working with people at Yale Law School that she had done, working with kids that would otherwise end up in jail. The audience was largely black from the university, mixed, I should say, not largely, and university and people from New Haven. And she spoke about public education, how important it was to her. And everybody nodded and applauded. But aside from Chelsea, which may have been for political reasons, going to private school, Hillary cited that she went to public school in Chicago, but it was New Trier, which is the closest thing to a
private school we have in the United States. It's in the public sector.
She went to Maine, actually. She went to where my dad went to school, actually.
High school?
Yes.
But she was in, okay, you're right. I'll accept that. But my sense was that, you know, with private education behind her, she kind of blithely skated over. I don't know about Maine, so my question may be invalid. But, you know, I would have a hard time, as the other callers, really squaring whether she has the muscle to stand up and, you know, really think through the Iraq policy. I mean, I think, you know, throwing more people after bad is not good, and it's not my kids. But.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill, very much for the call. I don't know, this Iraq thing, it's this is getting to our souls, Professor Burrell. This Iraq thing is, I don't know where it'll be 2 years from now, but he has a very valid point about nobody making much of the Iraqi civilian deaths. We're out of time. What a great hour. Thanks so much for being with us, and rest assured we'll call you again because I don't think she's going away. She's in it to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome.
Professor Barbara Burrell is Associate Professor of Political Science at Northern Illinois University. Thanks so much to Rita Thomas for producing this hour, to John Treader for on-air production in our studios in Milwaukee. Copies of the show, call the radio store, 800-747-7444, and the program number is 123D. This is the Ideas Network.